Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 175. 175 weeks of us bringing you all the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And we had a little bit of a downtime. We missed last week because Paul was hungover. He'd been out celebrating his birthday, and he couldn't make it to roll out of bed to shoot Ping. Paul, was it worth it? Disappointing the viewers?
It's really hard to disappoint the Niners, and apparently that was my second hangover ever, and it lasted at least a week.
That's what happens with age. I wouldn't know, but I've heard.
Yeah. There's some Niners that have left some very funny comments about my age. Jerosis says, back in L.A., Paul should celebrate his birthday with a visit to La Brea Tar Pits to hang out with the other dinosaurs.
I like that. I need to grab my computer because I wanted to read one of the comments because it was just so just well said. I'm going to read it here for you. I like to is Microsoft will E3 on Channel 9 because G4 TV is gone forever and other channel may or may not aired it again.
So yeah, that was I read that one 3 or 4 times and I didn't quite get it, but apparently Herb speaks this dude's language, and he was like, the Xbox reveal on May 21st will be streamed live via the console or Xbox.com, so they might do the same thing for their E3 content.
Apparently, he speaks Milk Nun's language, because I was lost, but I'm glad that you guys are, you know, networking and understanding each other. We're bringing people together here on Ping. So,
yeah, that's the value of the community, is how our Niners can help each other out, and we're just one of the conduits that empower them.
I think he's brilliant.
Yeah. So we got a lot of good comments. A lot of people are obviously commenting on your birthday, Paul, so I do sincerely hope it was fabulous and worth all of the after effects. And, you know, I wanted to mention, because I think it's funny, Will Ferrell tweeted something really, really funny, and it totally is non-sequitur and has nothing to do with Ping or really anything that we're talking about, but I thought I'd just repeat it. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure.
Why not, right? It. He writes, I farted in the Apple store. Not my fault they don't have Windows. Come on!
Wonderful.
That was fun. Should we just do the show?
We should probably just do the show.
All right. All right, everybody, so Herb, thankfully, sort of mentioned it in the comments, and we are here to confirm that the new version of the Xbox will be announced May 21st. So people, you can put all the rumors and all the speculation to rest because the official announcement and all the news and goodies will be true and real, given to you direct from the Xbox team on May 21st.
Yep, I would say don't let the rumors stop. I'd say just flurry it all up and try and guess what's going to come out. I have absolutely no inside knowledge whatsoever what the next Xbox is going to be, but I am pretty excited by all the rumors ranging from just the sheer horsepower of the new console all the way through potentially having some crazy new sensors or new versions of Kinect or like really awesome games or being like very improved media hub. Like, who knows what this thing's going to be, but it's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for it. And unfortunately, my experience in the past has been that these rumors, be it about any sort of announcement, they're usually kind of true because people can't seem to keep their mouths shut and keep secrets in any company. So while I can't confirm or deny any of the rumors because I don't really have any insight and I don't know, I would probably think they're pretty much right on.
Yeah, well, I think it's also a signal versus noise factor. Like, of the 1,000 things that we hear about some new consumer electronics device, sure, 20 of them may be true, but then there's like 980 of them that are not true or they're partially true. So it's really hard to decipher what is actually the truth and what is a real prediction versus what is, you know, something that's likely to happen. It's not really that big of a guess. Like, yeah, sure. Obviously, there's going to be more RAM, you know, better computing, faster, blah, blah, blah. But I'd like to actually figure out what are the new scenarios that are truly enabled by the next generation console. Nobody will really know until about 3 weeks from now.
That's right, May 21st, and you can watch all of the action on your dashboard on Xbox, I think on Spike TV, and then was it Xbox.com as well, Paul?
That's right, yeah. I'm pretty excited about this, obviously, because I have not had TV for so many years, but being able to stream this live over the internet, I think, well, given how terrible my internet connection is here, probably won't work, but I can probably go over to a friend's house.
That's right. And then
popcorn.
Paul, just a few weeks later, right next door to you, the biggest gaming convention to happen in the entire gaming industry every year, E3, where, you know, it can be expected that they will announce the device and the hardware on May 21st, and then obviously the game lineup at E3. So you're going to have to figure out a way to jump a wall, steal a badge, and get your butt in there.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to be in the Maldives during that time, so I won't be
where
able to.
You?
Yeah, that's too bad. But I think this is a really interesting way how this is playing out, where, you know, many years ago when the Microsoft team announced the Kinect at E3 and just, you know, won the entire conference immediately. And this year, with, you know, some other consoles being announced beforehand, and then Microsoft announcing theirs beforehand, and then having a few weeks maybe to understand what all the buzz is going about and to correct some of the assumptions, and then being able to have another major stage at E3 to discuss the game lineup and any other details, I think is a very interesting strategy.
Yeah, I agree, and it's all very exciting. I'm looking forward to it all. So stay tuned for May 21st and then E3. Hopefully we'll get some good E3 coverage, definitely on Microsoft channels, hopefully on Channel 9. That is to be determined right now, but we'll definitely be talking about the After Effects here on Ping. All right, Paul, in the past, we've debated some of Microsoft's advertising techniques. Some of them we've praised, some of them we've bashed, you know. We've run the gamut of whether or not we love them or we hate them. And to be honest, some of them really sucked, right?
Some of them did,
well,
some of
this
them
one,
did not.
This one, in my humble opinion, does not. So Microsoft has teamed up with Forbes magazine, and in a limited number of Forbes magazines, there actually is an advertisement that turns that page into a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah,
this, your magazine gives you internet.
Yeah, when I first read this headline, I was like, I don't understand this whatsoever. And
yeah,
then,
I figured I'd have to explain it to you.
Yeah, but then, I mean, sure enough, it's like pretty much exactly what it says. But then I was like, how on earth could they possibly turn a magazine into a Wi-Fi hotspot? And then it makes sense that they are putting in like a little T-Mobile hotspot into the magazine itself. And then you can, you know, pair that with your computer and then for a couple weeks use that as a wireless hotspot.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I think the only thing I don't like about this is that the magazines are not going to be available to anyone off any magazine standing on the corner. I think they were specifically sent to, you know, target audiences, like technology professionals, business people, things like that, you know, who subscribe to Forbes, I'm sure, and they got these badass ads. But I want to be able to, you know, like getting the golden ticket like at Willy Wonka, right? So I just walk up, I buy my issue of Us Weekly, I mean Forbes magazine, and boom, surprise, I'm a winner.
Right, yeah.
That's what I was hoping for.
I think that that I don't know if this actually went out to the like a small portion of the subscribers or if it went out to just influencers in the industry, like the bloggers that are out there, the journalists that are out there, maybe some high profile you know, CEOs or C-level execs. Either way, I think it's really cool. I like the notion of finding clever ways like this where you can get buzz about something even though everybody doesn't have it. I know a number of the advertising executions that we've considered are also doing the same thing, where you build something cool and you get people to talk about it, and it's not that everybody that reads it could also do it themselves, but they hear about it and then they think positively of a brand. So I think this is a really, really interesting way. And then I also just like the copy that they put on it. Like the one of the pages says, "You're three steps away from an out-of-office experience," which I thought was just like very, very well worded.
I wonder like what the cost of that is versus like how many people just flip through their magazine, think it's an ad, and don't even know the power that is passing their fingertips. You know, like frequently when I read through magazines, you know, I just skip through quickly for the articles that I'm, you know, intentionally looking for. So I wonder if they're notified, like, hey, don't miss page 37. There's an ad you really want to check out, you know?
Yeah, I think two things here. One is for the people that did get this, I imagine it was accompanied with some type of letter or something that was on the cover of the magazine. And then two, like, if it wasn't, now people that do have the magazine and hear about this will go back through it and be like, oh, I wonder if I got that.
That's true. So, you know, I think it's a great job all around. New, creative, exciting, innovative. Kudos. And I'd love to see more stuff like this. I think we all would. Right, Paul?
Yeah, maybe see it firsthand so we can do some
Yeah,
some
maybe
demos.
Send it to me. I have influence. I'm under the influence. You know, whatever. All right, so we just finished one story about what I believe to be pretty cool marketing, and now we've got another sort of marketing story. Basically, it's an app that is available for Android phones, but its intention, and in fact its title, is called Switch to Windows Phone. So if you're a Droid user, you can install this app, and essentially it will provide you with alternatives to apps in the Droid marketplace, to their sort of equal in the Windows Phone marketplace. Is that the correct understanding, Paul?
Yeah, from what I understand from the article, it looks like this is an effort from the folks over in Windows Phone marketing to figure out how they can drive home the point that the Windows Phone marketplace has tons of apps, even though it's not necessarily at the same scale of, you know, nearly a million apps that the other marketplaces may have. There are certainly the right apps or compare, like, very similar apps to what are available. You can pop open this app. You can search for whatever your favorite apps are, and if that app's available on the Windows Phone, it'll let you know that. And if it's not, it'll say, hey, here are apps that are very similar that have similar functionality.
I mean, it's a good idea in the sense, because I know one of the things that not only Windows Phone but also Windows 8 for the Windows Store, we want people to realize that we have the apps you love. The apps you love are on Windows. They're on Windows Phone. People just may not know it because, you know, they're either a different name, you know, with similar but different features, or, you know, they're just not that familiar with our marketplace and our store. So this is, you know, I understand the motivation and why they would do that. I don't know necessarily, in my opinion, if an app is the right way to do it. Because if I was a Droid user, I don't think I'd install that app.
Well, I think that you may consider installing that app if you are in a number of categories. One is if you are considering switching to Windows Phone yourself and you want to do some research behind the scenes. So that may be one. Two is if you are really passionate about smartphones and you want to be able to easily show your friends, like, hey, you know, I have a Windows Phone, you have an Android, how about you install this app and you can see for yourself all the great things that I have access to.
Yeah, you're right. I think I'd like to see it. I will give you that the app is beneficial. I think I'd like to also see it as a website.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, there's the Windows Phone Marketplace, but, you know, you just go there and you can search for whatever you want, and then ideally it'll try and match you to what your search intent really is. I haven't used the website in a while, so I don't know. I've still just used my Windows Phone and just figure out whatever apps are available and use it. Now, I think there are some downsides to this. Like, if the search algorithm really doesn't work that well, then that would clearly be a bad sign.
Or if right. there are, it could work against us.
Yeah, or if there are other problems, like, you know, if, for example, like an Instagram isn't available on Windows Phone and it shows like two or three other apps that, you know, one posts to Instagram's feed, another one reads from Instagram's feed, but it's not all built into one app. And then there's like key experiences that have traditionally been very good on Windows phones, but are just different than what is expected on the other platforms. Like, for example, the Facebook experience, Facebook chat has been built into like just the core Windows Phone People Hub functionality since the beginning. And now Facebook's released Facebook's released Chat Heads, which it has, you know, basically the functionality that Windows Phone has had for many years, but it's in a different format. And so Windows Phone will continue to use the functionality it's had for years, but it won't have the same look and feel as it does on the other devices.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's interesting. We'll see how it pans out. I hope it works, and I hope people start, you know, realizing that Windows Phone does have great apps. And if you are in any doubt of that, you should just watch Hot Apps every week on Channel 9. Hey, Paul, have you ever used Groupon?
I have used Groupon.
Right. This is a handy little thing here. I've used Groupon as well, and I've saved a pretty penny. And so now, Bing Deals, which used to be focused on just saving money in general, is they've changed their name. They're now called Bing Offers, and they're a little bit more focused on savings of the Groupon-esque type. So I think all of the original Bing deal functionality are still there, but now sort of even more, adding the Groupon and local features and changing the name to Bing Offers, which I think Bing Deals is a little sexy because it's kind of like Big Deals, Bing Deals. But, you know, that's just me. Nobody asked.
Bing Deals.
Bing Deals.
This is definitely, you know, something that is interesting but also somewhat confusing. Like, I never understand why brands get changed as frequently as they do. Like, perhaps I should take a class in brand
management. Well, I think only at Microsoft does that happen. It's confusing being an employee. I'm sure it's insanely confusing to a person in the outside world. Yeah, I don't know why that happens. Just pick a name and stick with it, but they changed it.
Yeah, I mean, I launched the site and it was, I mean, it actually was quite useful. So I was going through and like looking at all these food deals and celebrity tours and celebrity wine tours. And I was like, if Laura Foy ever came down here, oh man, how good of
a time. I want to go on a celebrity wine tour.
I know.
That sounds like so much fun. If you come up here, I can take you on a, you know, flannel shirt and hiking boot tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So check it out. The functionality is new and improved to all the things you love. And the name is now, I suppose, better than ever. It's called Bing Offers. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this week. Thank you for watching. Please make sure to comment and interact. And we promise to comment and interact right back at you. And we wanted to ask you guys, based on some of the conversations that we had this week, what you guys think is the most exciting or killer feature that's going to be in the new Xbox. I know, Paul, you probably have some thoughts on that you're not going to share now,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, I clearly won't share them now because I don't want to have the viewers be like, oh, yeah, that would be a cool
Me too.
Thing to put in that the Xbox.
Right, right. So anyway, but we'd love to hear what you guys either think is really going to be a part of it or just what you would dream it would be a part of it. I know I'm personally waiting for the Illuma Room to become available because that's awesome. I still fantasize about that one. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at L Foy and this guy
at Paul Mest.
There you go. And we will see you next week.